Hello and welcome to the Wanted podcast. My name is Pio Mpia, editor of Business Day Wanted. This week we talk luxury with someone who knows a thing or two about the subject. Celeste Khumalo is many things, but over here we know her as our business manager at Wanted and the rest of Arena Holdings luxury concerns. Hi Celeste, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, I'm happy to be here.
Good to have you. First time visitor to the Wanted podcast, but not new to Wanted. But as a first-time visitor, then it's customary for you to introduce yourself and tell us exactly what a business manager does.
So as a business manager, I handle the luxury portfolio at Arena Holdings. And in that luxury portfolio, it's three magazines. Wanted, which focuses on luxury and high-end luxury. Then there's S-Mag, which is celebrity and culture. And then there's The Edit, which is mainly fashion. So as a business manager, I focus on really keeping the business operations all together. So mainly I do focus on bringing in commercial revenue. And then I would handle either the events or I would liaise between sales and editorial in order to just get the product out and looking fantastic.
So beyond media then, I suppose you could say that the majority of your interest is in luxury. And it's interesting because you are not only a consumer of luxury, you have been for a long time, but you have this professional interest, as you've described. But also, interestingly enough, as a scholar, I was talking to an academic friend of mine who only recently learned that there was such a thing as luxury studies. And she was complaining that, you know, she had chosen this difficult route in academia, you know, of kind of like black feminist theory. And, you know, she could have just chosen luxury studies. So as someone who has studied luxury studies and has two MBAs in the subject, what piqued your interest to that extent that you really went all the way?
So it's one of the MBAs that's focused on luxury.
Right.
The first one is a general MBA, and I just felt that I wasn't getting really what I wanted out of that. The luxury MBA, I had been looking to study internationally. And obviously, as you have said, I appreciate the finer things in life. So when I could put academia and something that I love together, it was perfect. And, you know, that is the situation that we find with education systems down here, is that it's very blue collar, like this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. Whereas internationally, you can actually get an MBA in mostly any passion project. I think with studying the MBA, I did it with an institution in Paris, Soupe de Luxe. And they really, what I found with that MBA is that I was thrown into the business of luxury where I wanted to be. So when I tell people that I've got an MBA in luxury, they automatically go to fashion. And I'm not a fashionista, and I'm not kind of on the trends of which fashion week is happening when. But I really focus on how a business is sustaining itself, and then the sector is luxury.
So let's talk about that. Wanted, as a business, as a brand, turned 20 this year. And, you know, so much has happened in, I mean, print is a huge part of our output, although we have others. And so much has happened in the print world just this year. I mean, there's so many things that have happened in the past. And so where would you say print is right now? But specifically where Wanted is, and what 20 years of Wanted being in this luxury lifestyle world means for media in general, but also that, you know, 20 years down the line, we still have a print product going and going pretty strong.
You know, At the company, Arena Holdings, which is mainly a print media company, we have been kind of faced with this question when we look around at like competitors or the market out there. Is print still relevant? And yes, it absolutely is. I mean, if we're turning 20, absolutely. If the newspapers are still printing, absolutely. Yes, the field has changed. Digital is taking over, but it doesn't change the fact that what the content is still highly relevant. Now, when we bring it to luxury and when we bring it to wanted, the point of it, and this is where also luxury really kind of shines, the point is to indulge. It's to take a moment, to sit back, relax, and read what editorial has put together, be transported into this world, into this frame of mind of enjoying finer things in life. And that's where I think the strength still is. We're so inundated with viral content. We're seeing multiple videos a day. There's this influx of information that one really doesn't need, because if you're scrolling, it's thrown at you, right? But then when you can take time out for yourself where it's not a screen, you're feeling the paper, you're reading, you probably have a glass of wine for those that are a bit, I'll say sexy, they'll have a cigar perhaps and a cognac. But that's just it. It's in the moment. And it also borrows from luxury watches. You know, your phone can tell you the time, but what's on your wrist gets you to pause in that moment, to look at the time, register the time, and then carry on with your day. So it's stealing those moments. And I am thrilled that Wanted is celebrating 20 years and I get to be a part of that.
And so you get to be a part of that now. We know internally that there are certain things that we will get to be a part of as we celebrate these 20 years. Is there anything you can tease for us, you know, without giving too much away? What can we expect from Wanted in the next few months as we celebrate 20 years?
I think there's a lot more to the celebration in the sense that we will be partying a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
We will be partying a bit more. We have some new additions that are going to bring people into the universe of Wanted. And that could be by membership, private membership, and also definitely in the pages. I think that we've grown this product and it's got a lot of heritage, and we need to obviously start looking into the future. So how is that going to translate? I'm quite excited, and I hope that the readers and the listeners will be too.
Very cryptic, I wonder. So talking about 20-year anniversary, so earlier this year, you went to the 20th iteration of the Financial Times Business of Luxury Summit. And, you know, this is one of the biggest luxury summits in the world. And, well, firstly, just take us through the experience itself, because I see you even made it onto the sizzle reel after the event.
You know, I always find that I make it onto these.
I wonder why.
Yeah, so 20 years of that as well. And it kind of just shows how relevant and how much goes into building these businesses around luxury. The first one I attended was last year. That was in Monaco, and that was my first time in the south of France. And this year was in Venice. And I mean, when I saw the venue, I was quite nervous about it because there were multiple areas and places in which the event was taking place, and I'm like, this is on water, so we're gonna have to be taking water taxis across to. But then that also added to that element of being intentional, engaging in the environment, and taking up Venice. Venice is absolutely beautiful, and it was an amazing experience, truly.
You know, they're talking about the water taxis. I was in Venice last year for the second time, and those water taxis are dangerous. Like, some of them, anyway. I mean, our taxi drivers on the streets have a lot of competition
they
there, I tell
do,
you.
They do.
So, I mean, a lot happens on these conferences. Lots of talks, lots of panels, lots of information to distill and to, you know, to ponder. A few months down the line, you know, having thought about everything and taken it all in, What are the key takeaways, and what can we already see happening from, you know, that align with those takeaways from the conference, the summit?
So the summit had started with kind of the economic outlook and geopolitics around luxury. And I think that, again, for anyone who is interested in luxury and knowing that there are all these other sides, economics plays a very, very important role in the luxury sector. So China, as we know, that China has been the star child of luxury. Now there is this huge economic downturn, and it has really affected a number of the conglomerates with their output. So the luxury sector, as we know, has relied on China, which was responsible for almost 16% of global luxury spending last year. So with that economic downturn and also a crackdown on display of wealth by the Chinese government has really shifted consumers into this area, which, you know, if the economy is not moving, are you going to be showing this luxury off? And if you're showing this luxury off, where's the consideration of the rest of the country? A weakened yen also impacts on the trade. And people are also finding, or consumers in China are finding, that it is also quite expensive to shop in China. So with the COVID restrictions having been lifted and China being the last to lift them, people have gone out and then spent in other markets. So just noticing that for the economic headwinds, then markets to watch, which include India, Indonesia, and Vietnam. So this is non-China Asia. And they just touched on those topics. I think India is really earmarked as coming up under China. It will take years. It will take years, but they are on the way up. And then also looking at some of the topics that were there, they would be acquisitions. Fragrance is a booming sector and a booming category that people are really starting to pay attention to. There were trends on luxury drinks. I know that Hennessy did perform well in Africa. And tequila is back to taking center stage as the top shots, as well as the art of hospitality, looking at members clubs, which I have mentioned that we're also looking at, health sanctuaries and food destinations, as well as yachts, super yachts being recession proof. So these are various topics that look at different pillars of luxury.
You mentioned Africa as far as Hennessy was concerned. You know, we know that Africa is generally a good market, if not huge, but it's good market for luxury brands. And traditionally, you know, West Africa, Nigeria has been strong. Ghana, in the south, we are pretty strong in various areas. So when we're talking about the global luxury market, of course, the market is comprised of businesses, right? Ultimately, and a lot of these businesses are listed. And there's some news that came out of the luxury sector after, you know, the Q2 results. And I'm wondering if you've got some thoughts on what those results look like and what that may mean.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the conglomerates did report about the effects of China on sales. But Hermès actually really performed quite well. Hermès saw an increase, and it stood out amongst all of the luxury brands, and their increase was 15.1% in the first half and 13.3% in the second quarter. However, Gucci, Kering's star, reported a sales drop of 19%. And that would either go to storytelling. Are they able to really connect with consumers? Hermès said that because of their increase in their production capacities, and they were able to sustain the demand, that's why they saw those increases.
And I'd also argue maybe with Gucci, because of the directions, if you will,
yeah,
they've been changed, a lot of changes put in personnel, mm-hmm. Changes in focus for the group. So I think it's not entirely surprising that they've struggled.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see what happens from
what happens next. Yeah. Absolutely. LVMH's fashion and leather goods division, as well as Richemont, reported a 1% sales increase in the second quarter. So everybody's just really trying to keep steady. But Hermès is is very happy and laughing all the way to the bank, except for that one family member. That one family member that just gave up his money to be managed by God knows who, and now he doesn't have any money.
Looking at the global trends and how things generally trickle down to us trend-wise, whether it's fashion or any other kind of lifestyle area, what is transpiring here? What is transpiring in South Africa? What is happening on the continent that aligns or even differs with what has been predicted globally and what's actually unraveling or unfolding, rather?
So with the trends, I don't think it's a top-down approach. Mm-hmm. I think they are looking into Africa to see what next to kind of do for the rest of the world, which, you know, one can be really on the fence about, because it's our outputs or our talent, is that being empowered, or are they just taking so that they could, you know, kind of gain value and then move on from that? So
if I may touch on that, so is it, you know, when I said trickle down, certainly, and I don't mean trickle down in the economic sense, because we know that doesn't exist, but you know, there's so many trends, whether in luxury or popular culture, that get kind of rinsed and reinvented overseas and then kind of sold back to us, and we realize actually, you know, this is our thing, right? And and there are various examples in pop culture. When we are then in charge of whatever it is, whether it's our own brands, you know, Makosa opening in New York, for example, Tebe Magugu just blowing up all over the world, and just keeps exploding. There's like no stop to this. What does that mean in the greater scheme of things, where usually we don't have control of these relationships, and now because of the infiltration into these foreign markets, it seems to me that we may have more of a say in how these things are happening. Am I deluded?
Absolutely. I think the best time for it all happening is right now. And thanks to social media and being able to kind of go viral, but also not even just the platform, the fact that the talent actually exists. And I mean, I'm going to use Tyler as an example. I mean, She's literally a girl from Joburg, and a pretty girl from Joburg, and has gone into the world. I saw her performing, if I'm correct, in Japan, and that's just like, people are absolutely noticing. And using her as an example is that she's now also being earmarked by big luxury brands. She is showing up at fashion shows. She's dressed by these brands. So it is what we are putting out there. And I think when people open those doors or kind of expose what is Africa and what is South Africa, we are going to start seeing a whole lot more going up into the world. I know that with New York Fashion Week, we've had a few local designers that have shown, but I think now it's really starting to grow, where a number of them are being taken across. And yeah, I think really when you start to see, and you know, the diamonds that came out of Botswana recently just also show that we still have a whole lot of talent and some golds and diamonds and all this, all these resources that can make it into the world and really do well for the world and really do well for who we are and what we represent. And people are going to not start noticing. I think they have, but people need to start taking us seriously. And to say, that was also one of the things that I felt was missing in the luxury conference, was I think if you put the global south together as an economy, I think then we have a say. You know, I understand the challenges that Africa has. I understand that brands are touchy to step into Africa, but they are coming in. And I think just combining the global south, combining emerging markets out of Asia into one sector will give us a voice, because we spend and we push the culture.
Sure, I think I agree with that. If you look at the extension of BRICS, for example, with other countries coming on board, countries from the Middle East, other countries like Ethiopia, and on the continent, I think if there is an effective use of that unity in this space and in others, I think we are looking at a shift.
Absolutely. And I even advocate for that, especially like with BRICS. I think that while there's wars and tensions that are going on that still do affect us in Russia and the Middle East, what else is going on is that there is this trade block that could really kind of influence. And what we see happening in the Middle East right now is that it's really, really growing. But we see what's happening in Saudi is also growing. So again, putting all of us together, I guess, putting BRICS and adding new members to that, we are an economy that has a say and that can either shift what's going on. And then also India's in there as well. Brazil's in there as well. So again, put us all together and we've actually got a say. Yeah.
Great. Well, I think we'll hold it there on that optimistic note. Thank you very much, Celeste. It was great having you.
Thank you. I can't wait to be back.
We'll have you back soon. That was Celeste Khumalo, business manager at Business Day Wanted. And that's our show for this week. Make sure you go to wantedonline.co.za daily for all your luxury lifestyle news. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Wanted Online SA. Till next time.